Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. We have a real treat in store for you today. We spent time with the fascinating ornithologist Heather Bothwell to learn all about our Cavan wetlands and their importance. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
We're at what I call Carrotroa, so Sean Thornton's place, which is a Cavan Canoe Centre or Cavan Adventure Centre. So he has land on Inishmore, so there's a bridge which is Carrotroa Bridge that takes you on to Inishmore and then off at Erne Bridge. So it's actually an island in the Erne system. Designation, it's really complicated. It's a legal designation, so some of it is Irish legislation and some is European legislation. So Sean has quite a bit of land that I believe is European designation, which is called Special Areas of Conservation. And most, I think all European countries have to have designated areas. And that's to say, right, we really value these areas because of the habitats and the wildlife are on these areas. Wetlands are defined by an area that has normally a high water table or seasonally inundated, such as the Callows down in the Shannon, but any floodplain would be a type of wetland. And wetlands are all different types are defined by ecologists. And one of the things about ecological habitats is time. So something like a raised bog has taken thousands of years to, it started off as a lake and it's taken thousands of years to infill. So there's areas that are fens, there are areas that are swamps, there's reed beds, there's marshes. So ecologists like dividing them into lots of different types. But basically, if you have to put on your wellies most of the time and it's squelchy, it's probably a wetland or it was a wetland. Now that's different to wet land. So heavy clay grassland would be wet grassland. It wouldn't be defined as a wetland. It would be defined as a grassland. And a lot of the land around here would be quite heavy. And that's a wet grassland. I guess there'd be rushes and there'd be all the plants associated with wet grasslands, but it wouldn't have a very high water table. Usually, but again, there's a gradation. So the wet grassland then would probably grade down into marshland, grade down into swamp, grade down into the reed bed around here, because this area is interdrumland. So you've got the hollows, and like Sean here would have a fen in the interdrumland hollow, and then he would have marshes, and then he would have reed beds. So it's all little wee bits of wetland. That's the nature of County Cavan, because it's all humpy, hollowy landscape. I am secretary of West Cavan Bogs Association, which is a community organisation affiliated with the Community Wetlands Forum. And the purpose of that is to highlight the small areas of raised bogs, which are in the Ballyconnell, Bonboy area. When you go into those areas, if you drop into a wetland area, a raised bog area to be very precise, I mean it's classified as a wetland area, but even more precisely it's a raised bog area. So immediately the plants are very different from where you get elsewhere. The insects are different. You've got rare insects such as the large heath butterfly. You've got insectivorous plants are actually carnivorous, they're eating the plants. You've got a density of birds that you won't get elsewhere. So immediately it's interesting. That's selfish reasons. Now if you go into the general community, you've got a huge store of carbon. You've got an area that's storing water, so that's preventing a flood. And so for the community, it's providing a role, apart from my own selfish interest, which a lot of people enjoy bogs because they're different. They're different to they're peaceful, they're wild. Boglands are actually one of the few places that in Ireland are not being farmed. They're different, so we enjoy them that because of that. We measured the depth of the carbon just using ordinary steel rods, threaded rods, and we pushed them in the ground and pushed them in the ground to come out to a measure about 5 metres, 4 or 5 metres. So that is thousands of years of carbon that is stored. And because it's wet, it doesn't degrade, so the carbon is kept there. And as well as keeping the carbon there, if you keep it wet, which is why re-wetting is so important, to keep it wet, you also have a store of our own history, way back to prehistoric times. So we had archaeologists come to visit some of the bogs in West Cavan, and they're looking for piece of information about our own history way back to even before the monasteries in the area. So we all know about the bog bodies, but unfortunately those bogs were destroyed because of turf cutting, actually Bordenamona milling peat, so they've just emerged. But archaeologists are very worried about all this information that is stored in this amazing way in peat bogs. Then they need to get that information out, but it can't be done just by, you know, milling it, and, you know, with no archaeologists work in a very slow, patient and organized manner so that they get all the information in situ. But when we drain the bogs, the carbon is coming out both as carbon in the water and as carbon coming out in the air. So it's a no-brainer. If you want to keep the amount of carbon in the air down, the easiest, simplest thing is to not let it out of the landscape, not lose it. When we, our own lifestyles, it's going to be slow and difficult to change our lifestyles and how we manage the land, but keeping carbon in the ground where it should be is just so simple. Unlike further down in the Midlands, where a lot of the bogs are owned by the state through Bordenamona, all the bogs in our part of the world are privately owned, private owners. So it's this change in attitude, and most of the landowners are very, very supportive. So previously the land, if you go to the maps, they're all divided into strips, because that was your entitlement to cut turf and your entitlement to heat your house. So it's the reverse of that. It's people coming together to perceive the bog as one unit, and then it can be re-wetted. So ultimately, in my dreams, before I'm 6 foot under, I would like to see bogs in West Cavan re-wetted, obviously with the full agreement of the landowners. Nothing would ever be done without their say-so. Bogs and wetlands by definition have a high water table, and because we were involved in using them for other purposes such as turf and our heating, we needed to drain them. Rewetting is something that is done under the auspices of hydrologists to carefully plan how the job will be done, and obviously they don't want to create problems for people in the area. They don't want to create flooding of farms and that kind of thing. So it's a process that's carefully planned out. So over in East Cavan, in a place called Killiecone, there has been a re-wetting project, a very successful re-wetting project done through EU money. But that bog was SAC, unlike the bogs that we're talking about, which have no designation whatsoever. The marvellous thing, when you go over to Killiecone, immediately you could have two or three pairs of snipe. Now, snipe are a bird that people in Cavan regard as rather common, because we get a great landing of them from the Faroe Islands and from Iceland in the winter. So you would see snipe on ordinary fields because they've come in and as winter feeding, but as breeding birds they're in decline, and they would be on the list of birds of conservation concern now. So there used to be snipe and curlew on our farm, which are both wetland birds, and now there's not, because our wetlands on our particular farm, over the generations, they have changed. So as a breeding bird, snipe requires wet areas. Now this is not sort of, you know, whole lakes. This is small pools and complicated wetland structure, small little pools and humps and hollows of wetland areas. So you'd see a change in the plants. You'd see less of the heathland heather. You'd see more of the sedges and the sphagnum mosses growing, and the wetland plants that belong there, rather than birch trees and things that are an indication of it drying out and changing. I think attitudes have changed several times over the last 100 years. So before my time, in the 1950s and 60s, there was, and 70s, I suppose, there was a push, and we are going to, you know, bring Ireland up by its bootstraps, and we need every bit of land to and that attitude would still exist among farmers, that every bit of land has to be used for production. However, we are gradually realising that these other wee bits of wetland are doing other jobs for us. They are moderating flooding, they are providing habitats where, say, for example, small fish are you know, being spawned and grow up, and so they're important for fish, they're important for wildfowl, they're important for biodiversity altogether. And of course, with the carbon issues, suddenly realizing all these wee bits of wetland are just natural carbon sinks. They're important for that sort of thing. So gradually the shift, and it shouldn't be that every bit of a farm, and the department shouldn't, and then attitudes are changing within the department so that not all areas of the farm should be productive. And the shift is that, okay, if it's not productive, but it's not producing grass for cattle and sheep, are you going to be subsidised? Are you going to have money that says, yes, that bit of ground is just as precious to the community as producing cattle and sheep for export? So that it's a shift that has to, I think it has to come to some extent from the department to say, that is valuable, instead of saying, no, that's of no use to and so instead of regarding wetlands as wastelands, we regard them as just as valuable to the community. I think one of the things that I'd like to say about County Cavan is, because it is such a wet county, we have, you know, we have so many lakes. I mean, the cliche is we have 365. I think we don't value the wetlands around those lakes. So there was a book published, Hugh Riley, I think is his name, and he has created pictures of all as many lakes as he could. And that is a snapshot. He did it during lockdown, a snapshot of those years, of those lakes. And you will be able to go back and look at the wetlands around those, because he's done aerial photographs, he did drone photography. And those bits of wetland, how many of those survive in the next 10 years, in the next 30 years? And as Cavan people, we should really value those areas. I mean, I come from a different county where we don't have all those lakes, and I think we sort of get blasé about our wetlands and our lakelands, and we really should value them as really important parts of habitat for our community.
Heather truly is a wealth of knowledge on our wetlands. Next, we went to visit Sean at Cavan Adventure Centre. Sean has been running his sustainable family business on the wetlands since 2008.
I'm farming really from I left school, and my family's been farming all our lives. And then in the 80s, there was more land bought in the area. And then I decided in the 80s and 90s, our farm was going very well. So my father, well, there's enough land for us, so I took over a farm here on Inishmore. And then I farmed away for many years, and about 9 years ago, I decided, I always loved the waterways. I used to spend a lot of time myself in my young days. My uncle had a cruiser on the Shannon and the Erin system. So I was always involved in the water, and I always kind of had a dream that I developed something along the waterways here. So I ended up in 09, I bought a few canoes and kayaks, and I had no plan made. And then I started renting them out to people coming. And then after a year or so after that, we decided, three of us went off, and we'd done our canoeing instructorship. And we were able to work with schools then, and get them with schools. And then as the time went on, you see in the 006, all of my land was then designated. There was land bought. We bought land in 03, and at the time we bought it was agricultural land. And then 06 came the EU law in that we couldn't touch it. So the land had been left the way it was. Well, you see, that's why this area, there's not too many areas now. Most areas now, I know a lot of land in the rest of the country. It's all commercials, and it's really gone too far in places. So that's why we are designated here. There's not too many places like this in the world left that's unspoiled and that's just neutralised here. We have so much wildlife out there that's full of lush feed for them, the swans and all our special little wildlife. So that's why it'd be nice now if this whole landscape and kept protected. It's so important for in the future, sure it is. We are part of the geopark site here as well, and it's just what we are in a special area, SAC area, that it has to be, it's protected land, and we have special wildlife coming in this area. So they want to leave it completely natural and wild. And there'll never be any such thing as planet mission in this whole, from here up to Inishmore, up to the castle. There'll never be anything ever developed. because this yard here used to be a stables, and that's why this was turned into a centre then. And we started working with the colleges in Cavan. So we'd bring groups out every year from the college and walk the woodlands, and as part of their curriculum. We are trying to bring in new products, sustainable. I'm big into sustainable tourism. And what we do is we have no carbons. We have all of our canoes and kayaks are all, there's no carbons of any of them. So we have a lot of people come from Dublin as well, families and groups, and they have a 3-hour package for that. So they get the kayaks and canoes and go head off up to the castle, Clacquarter Castle. And they just come to the area and the castle and understand how beautiful it is, the wildlife and the time, just peace and quietness. So that business is at the moment, our number one product. But then you see, we also want to, because where my land is situated now, I want to tie all in, work with schools and all programs to bring people out and teach them about our landscape and our woodlands and what we have. And we are, at the moment, we're lucky enough now, we are building, we got funding from Cavan Leader. So we're building a whole education centre here, the side of the building here. So that's going to be part of the inter-certs and leaving-certs, the curriculum part of their education is we bring them out to the side, to the woodlands with their books, and then come back to our classroom and finish off their programmes there. We will have a biodiversity teacher on board full-time here now, coming. We work with the schools, so we start mostly here now in May with schools. We work with the secondary schools, so TYs comes out, so we do canoeing programmes with them, and we do biking programmes, and we do all our biking from Kilkeen Forest Park. We have a container there, and they're safe, and they're off road tracks, so we do that there. So, but it is lovely to see all the kids coming here, different ages here, so it's a big buzz here to everyone, and the parents are so, you know, it's a safe environment here. They drop them off here, kids at summer camps at 9:30 in the morning and collect them at 3:00. So there's lots of buzz and action here over the summer. And then again, September again, we tie back in with the secondary schools again, and we work with them again until end of October. Well, the main thing is the kayaks. They love the sea on top, so they're in the water half an hour next to jumping in. So kids all love jumping in and having the fun and splashing about and the paddle boards. And then we do little races that build their own rafts. So there'll be two or three teams. So the quicker they build a raft, they have to paddle around the target and back. And then there's a wee prize for the winner. So it's all teamwork and excitement for the kids as well.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like, leave a review and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, Sláinte agus beannacht.